Blog Talk Radio.
There's Gary.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Drop. We do. Gentlemen, man, this is kind of either contained excitement or what, man. This is the exciting time of the year. Smoke screens happening. We don't know what's happening. Lies, truths, who knows? We call it Jack Week.
My pal is off to a rough start tonight. So.
It's all good. Hey, again, we are ready to jump into this week. We are ready just 2 days, gentlemen, and we're gonna have some fun. But without further ado, I don't want you guys, you know, getting too crazy. I don't want you guys, you know, damaging property, anything like that. Just keep things, you know, pretty calm, pretty tame. No going out in Vegas, none of that, you know, getting too crazy, you know. But you know, that's where the draft's at, you know. One day we'll get a chance. So let's do what we always do. We're going to go around the room, check in. We got a lot of things to talk about. It's probably going to be definitely more NFL-related, obviously, but we got a lot of things to discuss. So let's go around the room. Let's check in. Mr. JQ, I see you representing Bengals. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I figured I'd break it all out this week with the draft coming up. You know, I'm excited to get back to some football because my baseball team sucks ass. So it's all I got.
It's all good, man. It's all good, man. You know, we'll talk about that, man. And, you know, again, you're the only one that's representing that at least had a Super Bowl team in there. So it's all good, man. So we're going to rebuild, see how strong it's going to be in the AFC. Holy shit, man. It's going to be rough. Rob Ford. I know. You got to check in with Rob Ford. And before you do that, Rob, I just want to say I was DJing a wedding on Sunday. And the guy that was working there was, I promise, he was from Louisiana. He was a straight-up Cajun because I couldn't understand a word he was saying. He was like, what?
Why you made it over the wrong?
I was like, what? I really had to stop and, like, concentrate and listen to him. He was like, what? I'm like, I'm setting up some detail here. Oh, man. Maybe it was Ed Orgeron, man, because I was like, I had to like, wait, what? He was asking me all kinds of questions, and I had to like pause and like really like, what did you just say? I immediately thought, I got to tell Rob about this, man, because this guy, I was like, are you from Louisiana? Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, like Bobby Boucher, right?
That was the best impression I could pull off, man. That's exactly how he got excited. And he started like, he did something. I'm like, all right, bro. Like,
that's like when you go to, that's like when you go to Scotland over in Europe and like, man, are they speaking the same English we speaking? Like, we can barely make out what they're saying, right?
I knew you'd get a throw out of that, man. I promise he was a straight Cajun, man. That caught me off guard, man. So there you go.
Yeah. Like, you can understand the British, but the Scottish, you're like, whoa. Like, man, this is like way off.
Another
way.
Yes.
How you doing, sir? Appel's also a little bit of a rough start, but down by 12 points. The wife and I had a great weekend down in NOLA at the French Quarter Fest, and we ate some of everything. Crawfish, hot sauce, and po' boy.
Asparagus.
No asparagus over the weekend. No.
What the hell?
Not in New Orleans.
Po' boys. Yeah.
You okay?
Seafood with egg rolls. What else we had, babe? Boiled crawfish. Yeah. We had some boiled crawfish. She's in the background helping me out. So, yeah, we had everything from bread pudding, you name it. last 2 days we've been back on our asparagus kick. We're trying to get back right.
I don't have anything else to say on that front. I'm just hoping that you're not going through withdrawals.
Oh, soft shell crab, poor boy, too. I forgot about that one.
Ooh.
This guy.
Yeah. Gary, what's going on, sir? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm back in Oregon. I'm feeling good. Just got back half an hour ago.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. You got enough energy for the show?
I was going to say, your ass is too good tonight.
Oh, yes, I am. I drove from I drove from about 100 miles south of Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't know exactly how many miles it is, but it was a rough ride. It was a windy, hard ride, but I made it here. I'm a little concerned about Curtis, so I'm only going to be on the show for about half of it, and then I'm going to head out and see him, make sure he's okay.
I was just about to ask, how is he doing?
You know what? I think he's more and more dependent on me to get on the show and to just get things set up. He can't do any of it, and his care providers aren't doing it, so I'm going to just get out there and, visit with him for a little while and, see how he's doing. That's
you're a good dude, bro.
Yeah, send our, we keep praying for him that he stays strong and everything like that too, man. So we appreciate you doing what you do, Gary, as always, sir. So thank you for that. Make sure he's doing good, and tell him we always ask about him. Make sure he's doing good for sure. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll let him know. He may even pop on. I don't know. He's got a care provider that knows the number now. He may not want to, but because I watch him pretty close. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that. When we're doing the show and Curtis is with me, I'm always watching him.
Yeah, we know
how he's breathing and, these sort of things.
Yep.
So he may be uncomfortable without me there. And because he's got to be off the CPAP for longer than he can these days to do the show.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Gotcha. Good deal. Well,
let's get to it.
We appreciate it. Really quickly, let's fill out the numbers. The 424-243-9519 is always the number to call. Follow us on the Twitter, Elon Musk apparently bought, if you're following the news. Man, that's nuts, man. For real, right? Craziness. We are on Twitter, which is at the number 12. THMEN Sports. I hope my stock goes up because of that one, which is amazing. So we're going to keep talking about that. And then last but not least, we're on Facebook.com/TalkingSports with the 12th man. If you put in 12th man sports, you'll find us as well. Rob put a 6-round mock draft on there on the 22nd. I don't think you put a new one on there. That's
like
I was from. Sorry, Rob. Just want to make sure. Yeah, so Rob came through in the clutch as always, man. So much love to you, man. We got to get you published, Rob, for sure, man, to make sure that you get some credit for that, man, because we appreciate all your hard work. F. Todd Mache, F. Man, who the hell is Mel Kiper? Right? Back in the day. So, we're going to have some fun, man. So, without further ado,
how long that dude's been covering the draft for ESPN? I was seeing some old footage from the early 80s. Mel Kiper was on covering the draft for ESPN. Like, wow. he's been doing this for like
33 years or something like that.
40 years.
I'd be mad at, the Todd McShay trying to, muscle in on my, because, Todd McShay's, fairly new, and then, obviously you had, Mike Mayock, and just it's interesting to see, what's been happening, too. But we're going to talk about all this. I'd love to get everyone's thoughts, make sure that Gary's awake, too, because poor guy, he's been traveling. So we're going to get your thoughts. And I will say this, gentlemen, before we get started, and this is – it's a lot of love, Gary. I'm trying to make sure that you're engaged under that, because we're going to keep you going, because I know I've had nights whenever we've been going. Everyone has. This is an interesting draft, right? Because in most drafts, you pretty much know who the number one pick is, right? You go into the number one pick is a quarterback, this is a definitive player. This year, we have no idea who it could be. It could be Trayvon Walker, as you saw. It could be Aiden Hutchinson. It could be Evan Neal. I mean, we know it's not going to be a quarterback, though. We're pretty sure about that. But at this juncture, one of those, a couple players. Now, are we going to be shocked what's going in? You guys are going to go around there. We're going to talk about that. You know, and obviously, you know, the mock draft, and we're going to talk about sleepers and all that fun stuff too. So I'm going to kick it out to Rob, and we'll go back to him, kind of get your thoughts, and, you know, let's get this party started, as Gary said.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I did the six-round mock draft on, I believe it was Friday or Saturday, and obviously I will be doing another update on tomorrow and another final update on Thursday prior to the draft, just for our listeners. Obviously, a lot of changes are going to be made in the next 48 hours. I still think it's going to come down to Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker. I don't think Jacksonville is going to pick an offensive lineman with the number one pick, just for the simple fact they addressed the position a lot in the offseason here. And of course, they re-signed Cam Robinson as well, who was the best offensive lineman, and they added to that as well. So I think it's going to come down to Hutchinson and Walker. Obviously, my mock I did over the weekend, I had Hutchinson at the number one pick still, but there's a lot of conversation with Walker. So we'll see. You know, don't be surprised if one of my next two mocks that Walker moves up to the one spot. But right now I have Hutchinson at one to Jacksonville. I got Walker in the number two spot, who obviously has killed all the workouts, you know, since the season ended, right? When you look at his 40 time, his workouts, and obviously he's got enough film, enough good film to back that up as well. So he's really, now from an athleticism standpoint, he's clearly the better athlete than Hutchinson. It's just that Hutchinson has more highlight reels to showcase than Walker, you know, right? So, but from an athleticism standpoint, Walker is clearly the guy, and that's maybe where Jacksonville may be at right now. You know, a lot of these coaches, they think they can coach these guys up and get more out of them. So we'll see how that goes. But right now I have Walker 2 in Detroit, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati, going to Houston, and Lovie Smith. I got Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon going to the Jets at 4. We already talked about the Giants and all the offensive line needs that they have. I got Evan Neal going 5 to the Giants. Malik Willis, I got him going to Carolina to 6. You know, all indications are Carolina has no interest in Baker Mayfield. They feel like Sam Darnold is already Baker Mayfield. So, you know, why go out and get another? So you need to keep Sam Darnold and maybe bring in a young guy to compete. And so I got Malik Willis going to Carolina. Derek Stingley is slowly moving back up draft boards right now from his workouts. And, you know, and everybody's going back to his freshman tape. Joe Burrow even came out and said he's the most impressive freshman he's ever seen. And so, obviously, so I got Stingley going to the Giants at number 7. I got the Falcons taking Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State, at number 8. Charles Cross, offensive lineman, Mississippi State, going to Seattle at 9. And I'll close out the top 10 with Ikem Ekwonu going to the Jets at number 10. And I'll just talk about our teams really quick for the full six rounds. I'll start with Dre's Falcons. I already talked about Garrett Wilson in the first round. In the second round, I've got the Falcons taking Kyler Garden, athletic cornerback from Washington. Trey McBride, tight end from Colorado State in the second round. In the third round, I got the Falcons taking Ed Ingram, offensive guard for LSU. Extremely good run blocker, Leo Chenal, linebacker from Wisconsin. And then in the latter rounds, the fifth and sixth round.
He's good.
I'm sorry. I got the Falcons taking Matthew Butler, defense tackle from Tennessee. Carson Strong, quarterback from Nevada. Got him falling to the fifth round to the Falcons. The guy with a lot of potential. You know, a lot of people concerned about his competition now. It's starting to drop a little bit, but there's no question about his arm talent. Alex Wright, edge rusher from UAB, and Jashawn Carbon, running back from Florida State, to close out the Falcons draft. For my beloved Saints, I got to take Chris Olave at 16, wide receiver from Ohio State. Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, at number 19. In the second round, Daniel Falele, offensive tackle from Minnesota. In the third round, Damian Pierce, running back from Florida. In the fourth round, Kirby Joseph, safety from Illinois. Fifth round, Justin Schaefer, no relation to Gary. Or maybe he is related to Gary, right? offensive guard from Georgia. And to close out in the sixth round, the Saints taking Bo Melton, wide receiver from Rutgers. Cowboys, first round, Tyler Smith, offensive tackle from Tulsa. Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn in the second round. Channing Tindall, linebacker from Georgia in the third. In the fourth round, got him taking Dominique Robinson, defensive end, Miami, Ohio. And then the Cowboys have 4 fifth-round draft picks, which we already talked about last week's show. So here's the four guys. Bubba Bolton, safety from Miami. Dane Belton, safety from Iowa. Ty Fofagle, wide receiver, Indiana. Jerome Ford, no relation to me, running back, Cincinnati. And then to close out in the sixth round, who I think could be a sleeper, Cade Mays, offensive guard from Tennessee. I think he's a guy that can come in and compete for a possible starting position or at least give you some depth on an offensive line.
Hey, if they take Jerome Ford, then Zeke is in trouble because Jerome Ford is actually pretty freaking good. I was like,
I didn't list him on one of my sleepers, but he is a sleeper in his draft. No doubt about it. And Cade Mays, offensive guard from Tennessee. I think he's a big baller. He's about 6'6", 330-pound guard, who I think will be able to come in, and if not, at best, be a good rotation player for you. Then the Bengals, I got him taking Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia. In the first round. Second round, Luke Goedeke, offensive tackle from Central Michigan. Third round, James Cook, running back from Georgia. And then the fourth round, Michael McFadden, offensive line from
Indiana.
Cook,
that's a great pick.
And James Mitchell, tight end, Virginia Tech in the fifth round. And to close out, Jalen Watson, cornerback from West Washington State up in the Pacific Northwest in the sixth round. Yeah, I think James Cook, you know, a lot of these teams like to have these 1-2
great
punch at running back these days. And, you know, you start adding another back there with Joe Mixon. Yeah, that's to me, that gives him a nice new toy to work with in Cincinnati.
And the fact that you can't pay everybody, so if you don't have to choose, you can always replace a running back. So they might be looking to the future of having to extend Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. Like, sorry, Joe, we love you, but if you want big money, you got to go somewhere else. I love that take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Rob. JQ, man, what you got, man? What you got to say? Let's go around the room. Oops,
Rob, listeners, you can see the whole – you can see the rest of the draft on our Talking Sports for the 12-man page.
I just – you know, I really wonder what Cincinnati's going to do because I feel like in a lot of these mock drafts, lately for Cincinnati, it's been a defensive tackle that has fallen to them in a whole lot of these mock drafts. I know that kid, the center from Iowa, was it Lindenbaum?
Lindenbaum.
They have a lot of time falling, and I'd be okay with that to, you know, finish out the offensive line, the address of the needs. But, you know, Cincinnati needs a defensive tackle. They need a defensive end. They need a center. They need a cornerback. So it just depends on how the board falls to them in terms of, I hope they stay true to the board of how they go about it. But I'm not mad about that. And quietly, I think Cincinnati's going to draft a wide receiver. You say, well, why would Cincinnati draft a wide receiver? I just don't think they can keep Tyler Boyd. I really don't. At some point, you know, these contracts are going to come due, and you draft these dudes in back-to-back drafts, and you see Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and these boys get paid. You know you got to pay Jamar Chase. No-brainer. What do you do with T. Higgins? Pay T. Higgins. You can't pay Tyler Boyd. Pay Tyler Boyd, you can't pay T. Higgins. And then, you know, I think Mixon's contract is up after next year. So that pick with Cook is a foreshadowing one. So I feel like that's not a bad cook for a really versatile back. If he's anything like his brother from Minnesota, I'm 100% okay with that.
That's a great
move. Yeah, it's just, I'm not mad at that pick at all.
Tyler Lindenbaum, I have him mocked at 40 in the second round in Seattle right now. It's the lowest I've had him in any mock. I've mainly had him in first round in just about every mock so far. So this is the lowest I've mocked him to 40 to Seattle in the second round.
And if that happens, I really wonder – with the way you have the quarterbacks going, because you've got Willis going to Carolina and you've got Pickett going to New Orleans. If some fool falls in love with Sam Howell, which is just stupid, or, you know, with Desmond Ridder, I think is probably a little better bet. When you're sitting at 31 and 32, if you want to come get one of those quarterbacks that may fall, they may try to come and talk to Cincinnati and the Lions at 32 because you get that fifth-year option. in the first round with those kids. And if you get a quarterback and you want to take a chance, then you get that fifth-year option. So Cincinnati may end up moving back, which I wouldn't be terribly mad at, depending on the value they get for it, right? So it's going to be really interesting to see, like we talked about, how those quarterbacks move. If anybody wants to move up for those fallers in the first round and jump back into the end of the first round. We see that every year where that happens at 30, 31, 32, where somebody trades out to somebody that finds somebody that's fallen and moves up into the end of the first round.
Yeah, speaking of quarterback, to me, you know, we talked about Willis and Pickett. I got Desmond Ridder as the third quarterback taken. I got him going Tennessee at 26. You know, I think they're looking for somebody to come in and push Tannehill, right? He may not start year one, but they're looking for someone. I got Matt Corral.
Replace Tannehill. Don't say push him.
Yeah.
Replace.
Yeah.
Replace.
Push him at year one. I don't know if he'll be going there and start day one, but he'll be set up to replace him. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, I got Matt Corral going in the second round of Seattle. Seattle's got back-to-back second-round picks. They picked 40 and 41. I got to take a Lindenbaum, 40. Matt Corral, 41. And then you mentioned Sam Howell. I got him being the fifth quarterback taken. I got him going in the second round of Tampa Bay. Tom Brady's going to retire at some point. And obviously, they haven't worked with Kyle Trask very long, but they're not completely sold on him. They may look at getting somebody else in there, you know, for future purposes, and maybe they let those two guys compete and see what they have whenever Brady retires, if he ever retires.
If they draft the Sam Howell, that means they ain't sold on Kyle Trask. They've only been there like a year and a half. So I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Gary,
a year, really, but they just drafted him last year.
Like, hey, Rob, I do like your draft for the Cowboys. I'd be happy with that.
Man. The fifth round is
that
nuts.
Was good. You never know how it's going to go. You know, you never know how it's going to go. What they're going to do? They're probably going to package some of those, you know, fifth round and try and move up and snag somebody, snag some sleeper or somebody that they want. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
As far as sleepers, I want to hear your sleepers.
Yeah, we're talking about
that,
sleepers. Rob. Yeah, we're going to talk about that for sure.
You know, the first guy I'm going to talk about is probably going to make me think I'm a homer here, but Austin Deculus, the starting right tackle for LSU the last 3 years. An experienced
homer.
Guy. yeah. An experienced guy. I got him going in the sixth round right now to Detroit. And, you know, he may not be a starter day one, but I think he can be definitely a guy that has potential to be a right tackle starter at some point in his career, or maybe even compete, even as a late-round sleeper. If you haven't heard the name Pierre Strong, get used to hearing the name. Running back from South Dakota State, ran a 4.37 40. He's got tremendous balance. He's about 5'11", 207 pounds. He's got quick feet, knows how to read the holes. I got him going in the sixth round right now, running back from South Dakota State. Like I said, if you haven't, you haven't heard of him, go check out his film. And up there in Oregon, C.J. Verdell. I know J.Q. probably don't want to hear that name, but running back from Oregon, I think he's a sleeper, right? You know, I have him going in the sixth round to Arizona right now. Carson Strong, we already talked about him. I got him going in the fifth round to the Falcons. And then last but not least, Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver from Baylor. He's really impressed in all of his workouts. You know, he just doesn't have a lot of film because Baylor just didn't throw the ball enough. So he doesn't have a lot of film, but I think he could be a real sleeper for a team. I got him going I got him going in the fourth round to the Giants right now. So he had great speed in the combine. So, yeah, he's a guy that could be a really sleeper as well.
Well,
those are my five guys.
What about the Pac-12 has some guys that brought some attention to me. Jamar Jefferson, Oregon State tailback. You know, he averaged 6.5 yards a carry. I think he would be a good pick. And then there's this wide receiver out of UCLA, Dimitri Felton. You know, he was with Chip Kelly, and you know, they have these gadget plays and all this stuff. But there was a one game I remember where he ran for 200 yards against Arizona. And he was a wide receiver with these little trick plays and all this bullshit. So we've got he's kind of in that. He's not at that level, but he's in that kind of that mold. And then, let's see. What about there's a defensive back out of Washington, Elijah Molden. He's more of a nickel back, but I think he's I think he'd be a good pick, you know, in that nickel situation. Those are the picks out of the Pac-12 that I kind of liked as sleeper picks.
Yeah, they are sleepers. I have them, all three of those guys, going in between the seventh round, the undrafted range. I don't have them going in the sixth round. But, you know, you can find some value sometimes. You can get some sleepers from that seventh round. There you go.
There you go, Gary. Right there. We're also talking about some HBCUs, too, as well, man. So you never know how that plays out for sure, man. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. I think that's somebody jumping in. Caller, thanks for joining in. Tell me what's going on. Calling the show. Hello.
How you doing, gentlemen?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Check in, talk about some NFL draft stuff. Yeah, what's going on? What you got, real quick?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little bit biased here. I'm a pretty hardcore Colts fan, so the Colts know how to draft.
Give us your thoughts on what's happening, because obviously in Atlanta, and tell me your thoughts about Matt Ryan, too, if you want to throw that in there as well. But, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Matty Ice. Yeah, him coming, no, that's like a placeholder. Whoever, if they bring a quarterback in, that would be amazing for him to, like, train him. But his mentor himself, Matt Ryan's mentor, was Peyton Manning. So, I don't know. We might get to I'm not saying the Super Bowl, but we're going to get to the playoffs this year. There's no way.
I think they're the favorites to win the AFC South right now. I mean, as of today, I mean, obviously we got to see what shakes out with the draft and the rest of the free agency, but I think the Colts are the favorite to win the AFC South next year. Matt Ryan is not what he once was, but I think he can bring a steady influence to that team. And in some recent mock drafts, I had them taking the second round. I had them taking the Colts don't have a first-round pick, but I had them taking the quarterback in the second round. In my latest mock, I had them taking the Kobe Dean linebacker from Georgia in the second round with the first pick.
That'd be good.
Ooh.
My whole thing when it comes to the Colts is the O-line is scary. The D-line, we have a couple receivers. Our running backs are scary. I don't know. We're gonna see what happens.
The best running back in the game right now, Jonathan Taylor. Derrick Henry.
Yes, sir.
You gotta get another weapon.
Hey,
don't you say that,
Derrick Henry?
No. I was robbed. I feel like, you know, that the only thing that can talk about the Indianapolis defense a little bit is the back half of it. You know, the linebacker crew is pretty good. You get into Kobe Dean, it's wild. Jonathan Taylor is a beast, and so is Michael Pittman. My homeboy Paris Campbell, I'm an Ohio State fan. I need Paris Campbell to stay healthy to be opposite of Pittman, but they might need one more weapon on the outside to complement Pittman, so you just can't load on, you know, double down on it. But yeah, I'm with you. I feel like that AFC South is good. I mean, you got Jacksonville and Houston. Those are four wins. You would say those are four wins. If you split with Tennessee, then you go 5-1 in the division. And now you just talk about maybe the AFC being so loaded. You might only need 5 more wins to be the second or third seed in the AFC, because the AFC is going to be tough. It's going to be hard to get the 12, 13
right.
in the AFC the way it's currently constructed. So if you go 5-1 in the division and you find a way to get 5 to 6 more wins somewhere else and get to 10 or 11 wins, that's a playoff game. For sure.
Derrick Henry
is the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, you got to have these, and that's a good call, too, Carl. You have a couple of brings back memories of, like, I guess, you know, I don't know if JQ is old enough to remember the Nigerian nightmare, if you will. You know, Christian Okoye, Jerome Bettis. He has some big old backs like that, man. So you're
Well, he got destroyed in Denver on Monday Night Football. I remember that game.
I know you're going to bring that up.
Well, the big bruising running back that you got, none of you guys remember probably, is Earl Campbell. That guy punished people. You were afraid.
Yeah. I remember Earl Campbell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm running around the golf cart right now.
Well, definitely check in, and we'll keep you going unless you want to hang on the show, man. We're going to keep going here. We're talking about draft talk. You know, me being the talk of Ben Rob, again, I want to thank you for, again, putting the mock draft out there. I know we got some sleepers to discuss and whatnot, too.
See that water.
There we go. I'm going to kind of bring it back to the Falcons really briefly because, you know, I thank you for bringing the wide receiver into the play because, you know, I have PTSD, right? So the last time we drafted, you know, somebody, I think we need an edge or we need, you know, like some type of defensive tackle. We talked about this, but the last time we drafted an edge was Vic Beasley. So I'm a little – I still kind of have some PTSD about that because that was – I'm a little nervous about that position, if you will, too, man, because I'm like, oh, my God. But that was a different regime, so maybe, you know, I don't know, but that's just what's happening right now in my head as far as what's going on because we're not sure what that run is going to look like. We know it's obviously a deep draft for wide receivers. You know, it's a deep draft for, you know, tackles, if you will. So just, you know, we're kind of seeing how the draft plays out. And then, like you said, there's no clear-cut number one right now. We have some ideas, but until the actual draft is kicks off, we're not going to know what the direction it's going to take, too. But, you know, I would hopefully address that a little earlier and address the wide receiver either in the first or second round, as he will, Rob. Carson Strong, good pick. You know, we'll see how that plays out. I think they really do like Desmond Ridder. Shout out to Cincinnati, JQ. But I'm kind of curious if Detroit or somebody trades back in to kind of grab him. There's some talks about Detroit trading back into the last part of the first round to get him. So, you know, again, we're not sure what going to happen and if there's going to be trade backs and whatnot too. I'm very surprised you had who'd you have? You had Malik Willis going to the Carolina Panthers that we had, Rob. And that's interesting because I really thought that they liked Kenny Pickett unless that's a huge smoke screen because they're saying that Kenny Pickett is supposedly the most ready-made quarterback right now in this draft. And you kind of hear that you know, Malik Willis is kind of a project. So you're kind of curious how it's going to play out, if you will, for the Panthers, because obviously they don't want any part of Baker Mayfield, as you said, because they're like, we're not going to get somebody else's, you know, garbage, if you will. So they're going to try to get a fresh start, I'm sure, for the quarterback, but they have to be in the long haul. You're not kind of sure if the coaching staff kind of has to go ahead to, you know, keep that going because it's going to take them a couple years to get that guy in there. Go ahead, JQ.
My own thing when I talk to my Falcons fans, who is the Falcons' number one wide receiver? Do you know his name?
We don't have one. Besides Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that's my point.
I get you.
So if you draft
I'm not mad at that either way.
You have a chance to get them, if you have a group that is clearly a defensive league, I think Kyle Pitts tied in. You don't have to worry about it no more. But if you talk about your wide receiver group and everybody's like, well, is it such, that means you don't have one. So I agree that it's a deep class, but if you have a chance to take the first one, that I think Atlanta probably would be, Atlanta would probably take the first wide receiver. If you have a deep class wide receiver, if you have a chance to take the best of all of them and you don't have one already in the building, I understand them taking one. Like, I feel like the Falcons fans get bad. Like, well, we need defensive tackle. We need defensive end. We need an offensive guard. And I get you. And I get that. But I feel like the offensive line is pretty deep in this draft where you can still get one. But I was like, but if you don't have a dude where they can't just double Kyle Pitts every time down, like, if you don't have somebody that can come and take the top off of it, something to be said about taking the best of a deep class. That means that you got the best. That means you got a really bad motherfucker, right? Like, if it's a deep class and you got the chance to take the first one, then take that dude and take him and run with it. If you get the right one and pair him with Kyle Pitts and then have a solid draft behind it, then you're good. But I just – that wide receiver group in Atlanta doesn't scare anybody. So
– yeah, we know that. Yeah, I mean, either you run or, like, that's why – that's why I said I had PTSD because I'm like, you know, which direction do you go? Because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, again, I told you my things last week. I was like, you know, unless you're Jamar Chase, it's kind of hard for me. I'm like, yeah, but I get it. We're not going to get that again. You know, spilled milk, we're done with that, you know. But it's like, you know, I'm kind of curious where they're going to go, too.
Well, we didn't know that. 100%. We didn't know that. We thought we were doing that.
We
and that dude dropped everything in the preseason.
That. we knew.
I don't know. You say
I'm
that
saying,
he dropped every pass of the preseason. Everybody was like, "Oh, Cincinnati, you messed up by not taking a tour from Morgan," and then was second guessing until the regular season hit, and then it was a different conversation, right? But in the preseason, no, we didn't. We was all sitting here like this.
Nah, the thing about DeMar Chase,
you got to remember, special talent, right? But he took a whole year off from football. So, you know, he had to shake off a lot of rust in the preseason last year, too.
I understand that. I'm just telling you, I was excited, don't get me wrong, for the Burrow to Chase connection. But when the preseason hit and we were doing our calls, we was all sitting here like,
Yep.
JQ was like,
Good work. He kept saying he was going to be ready for the regular season.
Well, hey, fellas, what teams are your bias towards?
I'm sorry?
I'm a Bengals fan. Cincinnati.
Bengals, Falcons.
I was just saying, what teams are your bias towards? Because that conversation sounds like the old guard talking about the White Sox 3 years before they won the championship. I'm just saying.
we get some deep stock in here. We're a little older too, but obviously we have a Falcons fan, we have a Saints fan, we have a Bengals fan, and we have a Cowboys fan, if you will. So that's kind of what we have representing, kind of on that, if you will, too. So
can I go ahead and name that the Unholy Grail?
Go ahead.
The Unholy Grail. All right, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's all good. We're just going to, again, as we talk about, you know, the situation with the draft stuff, so I got to get my thoughts together. But we're going to talk about the QBs because we're just talking about the two, Rob. Right? The top five QBs, and I know we kind of – and I'm glad, Gary, you're able to kind of interject and talk about some things too. But let's talk about, you know, the top five QBs that we have so far because, again, we've been told that this is not really – the best QB class, you know, wait till next year, if you will. But, you know, if you are drafting, you know, right now, there's a couple teams that we assume that are looking for a QB, and I'm thinking of, you know, Seattle, we're looking at, you know, we're not sure about Washington, possibly, you know, Carolina, clearly, Pittsburgh, you know, if you will, and obviously the Falcons are kind of, you know, too, and then obviously your Saints too, Rob, so we got to talk about the top five that you have on your board, Rob.
Yeah, Malik Willis, got him going sixth to Carolina. Kenny Pickett, 19 to the Saints. I got Desmond Ridder going 26 to Tennessee. And Matt Corral going 40 to Seattle. And then, of course, Sam Howell in the second round to Tampa Bay at number 60 overall. So that's where I have the top five going at this current time. So it's going to be real interesting, right? You know, every year we talk about teams trading up for quarterbacks. And I'm still not convinced that there's a team that's going to do that in this draft. Or maybe that the one position you might see a team doing is the latter part of the first round, as, you know, both of you already attributed to. I could possibly see that in this draft. There are going to be some trades in this draft, just like we are in every draft, right? But I'm still not convinced that there is going to be a quarterback that's going to get moved up. I personally think Malik Willis, he may not be a starter in season one, but I think long-term he might be your guy. He's the most athletic. He'll be a dual-threat option for you. He's got a rocket for an arm. So I would, if I'm taking a quarterback, if you want to take a quarterback in this draft and you're going to take the first one, I would take Malik Willis, even if you got to stick with Sam Darnold for another year. Or at least half the season until you're ready to turn over the reins into Malik Willis.
Back.
I mean, you know,
stop it.
Hey, yeah, I'm a Saints fan. You know, Sam Darnold doesn't scare me, but Malik Willis, as he grow, will start to scare me. Yeah. So.
Me too. I don't want to see his ass fall to Pittsburgh. I'm 100% with you. I'm like, please, somebody take Malik Willis before he goes to freaking swing to Pittsburgh. I already got to deal with damn Lamar Jackson. I don't want to deal with Malik Willis' ass. I don't even go to five. I don't even go to five. I only like two quarterbacks in this class. I like two. I like Malik Willis. I like Matt Corral. I think Matt Corral getting hurt. He was getting pro level coaching for Lane Kiffin. I do. I like Matt Corral. I think Matt Corral is going to have a chance to come in and actually play really good ball. I think Kenny Pickett doesn't have the intangibles. I think he's another Sam Darnold. I really do. And you already know how I feel about Sam Howell. He sucks. And Desmond Ridder, I think, is a black Andy Dalton. He's an 8-8, nine and seven, 8-9 quarterback. And the reason why I say this is that he played in the AAC and he put up good numbers against them. But I will never forget when they played against Georgia and they had Georgia on the ropes and Georgia started to make a comeback and Desmond Ridder, booty hole guy, super tight, like this tight. And he couldn't do anything right against Georgia. Once they got that lead, Georgia started to come back on that ass, and he had no answer for it. And that, to me, would be a concern. Once he jumped in level of competition, and it was all well and good when Georgia was messing up and they didn't want to be there, and they looked around and said, wait a minute, man, we Georgia. Why are we losing to Cincinnati? And they started to come back. Desmond Ridder came up real small in that game, and I have not forgotten about that. And I just worry about that in terms of taking him in the first or early part of the second round if I'm a quarterback needing. It's like getting Rosen and then having to come right behind and take Kyler Murray. I feel like you might end up having to do that with Sam Howell and Ridder and Kenny Pickett. I'm concerned. I've got two that I like, and that's the only two I like.
Yeah. Hey, not everyone
can
do Cooper
Rush. That's
a really
good point about
right
Matt Corral. Matt Corral is a dual threat guy, too. When he was healthy, he can run the football. He can throw it. And and at one point, he was the number one quarterback in the draft. You go back to October, November, around that time frame, he was projected to be the number one quarterback in the draft. So it's kind of falling off a little bit. Some teams that are a little concerned about his recovery so far, and so I think that's why they've seen a little bit of a drop. But I do think he could be a steal for you in the second round, once he fully recovers and things of that nature. So it's definitely a really good point. He could be one of those guys that somebody may look into the latter part of the first round for, too.
Yep.
Gary?
I'm like this. Please draft Sam Howell in front of him. Please draft that sorry bastard in front of him so I can come get him. Sam Howell sucks. I don't even understand why he is even in this conversation. He's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's what you know.
I got nothing
to think Sam Howell has
nothing
in between
right
years.
Now,
they like his smarts.
I got nothing right now except good night, gentlemen. I got to go take care of Curtis, okay?
We'll talk to you.
We'll
see you
next week.
Well, good to see you.
We on Tuesday?
Yeah, we're on Tuesday so far.
All right. Got to read. Got to do the draft recap. Appreciate you. We'll do that.
See you guys.
Hey, keep me posted, man. Let me know how you're doing.
Yeah,
let us know how you're doing.
Yeah, keep
us
posted. Text message, Rob. Yep.
Okay. All
right. Good stuff. We appreciate him calling in and checking in the cursor and all that, too. So, that's what we like to do.
Stay easy, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for checking in.
Appreciate you, Colin. Thanks
for
that. Good luck to you in the draft.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to see
this is pretty interesting. Yep. I am going to talk about some interesting things that are happening right now with the Giants. With the 49ers, I'm looking at the topics. And I was going to ask you guys a serious trivia question. When was the last time the Packers drafted a wide receiver? And could you name that wide receiver?
You asked for the wide receiver in the first round? Or just
in
the
first round,
period?
Yes, sir. I drafted a wide receiver in the first round.
Wow.
This is kind of tough. But
they got Devontae Adams in the third round.
And it wasn't Sterling or –
Round pick two.
Mm-hmm.
Was it James Lofton?
That's a good guess, Rob. But last, you mean to tell you the answer to this question? Because we were, let's look at the topics here. It was 20 years ago, 2002. Javon Walker was the wide receiver they drafted in the first round.
Wow. Mm.
So 20 years ago. So you wonder why they're
not
committing to that just shows you.
So now you know why they're gun shy.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But 20 years? 20 years, though. You're like, oh, but that is not the Cleveland from drafting quarterback, right? They would do like 11 of them, right?
And guess what? They got two first-round picks in this draft. I don't have them taking a wide receiver in the first round on either pick. I got
that's what I'm looking at, too.
They got
Rob was like the same thing. Rob had the same
thing. I got him taking Daxon Hill, safety from Michigan at 22. I got him taking Arnold Ebiketie, edge rusher from Penn State. So, you know, I got him. But you know, word on the street is that they have not promised Aaron Rodgers that they're going to draft a wide receiver. But that fan base will be livid if they don't draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I'm sure Aaron
Rodgers
will be too.
But here's the thing. But they can't say that right now, because I feel like if the Falcons start that run and then you get the Eagles, the Saints, there's like two other teams in that middle team draft, part of the draft, they can't say that because they might not be somebody there that they can get. Like, I don't like taking Dotson from Penn State just to say you got one in the first round. I would pass on him and see if I can get him later. If I'm the Packers, if I stand pat. I think they have to say that because they are sitting there doing like this, hoping beyond hope that, you know, Olave or what's the kid from USC and the other one from Arkansas.
Yep.
Trent London and London. What's it, Trevon Burks.
Yeah.
Burks and London.
Yeah.
It depends on your flavor if you just want to – if you want a bigger
London
quarterback that's more – if you want a bigger wide receiver that maybe is fast and more physical, then you like London, you like Burks. If you want somebody that's a little smaller, a little faster, then you like a Williamson or a Olave or Garrett Wilson. So it depends on how it falls. But if Atlanta starts that run at 8, right, I just don't see all of them lasting to the Packers. I feel the same way about the Chiefs, right? They're both sitting there with two first-round picks. What do they do? One has lost Devontae Adams, one has lost Tyreek Hill. Like, but where they stand right now, I just don't think they get the value of taking one of those wide receivers maybe in that part of the first round in terms of great draft board. So I think they have to say that because they're looking at their board like, unless we move up or some wild shit happens in front of us, I don't think those guys are going to be there when we go to pit.
I think Treylon Burks is going to be available. I got him going 27, so he may be available at 22. Okay. But do Green Bay want to take him at 22? But then Green Bay picked 28. So Treylon, I got him going one pick before 28. But I do have Green Bay taking Sky Moore, wide receiver from Western Michigan in the second round, who I think could be a flat-out sleeper in this draft. I got him going 53. He's about 5'11", blazing speed. A lot of people compare him to Tyreek Hill. He shined on his pro day. He shined at the combine, and he shined at the Senior Bowl. So Sky Moore could be a real weapon in this draft and really going up a lot of draft boards right now. So I do have Green Bay taking him in the second round right now at 53. Sky Moore, even though it's, you know, middle part of the second round, somebody might take him in the first round. I mean, he's that talented in the field. Yeah, somebody might take him in the first round.
I hear you, but if you're Green Bay and you just lost Devontae Adams, and you got two first-round picks, and you don't take a wide receiver, and you come back in the second round, and you take Sky Moore, even if he's that dude you talk about, he then has another level of added pressure of, we didn't take a wide receiver, we didn't move up one in the first round, now we ended up with you trying to gold mine in this draft to say, you know, to give Aaron Rodgers another weapon, you know, in the, you know, twilight of his career. That's additional pressure that you put on that kid in the second round, because now everybody's going to say, here go Green Bay. And then take another wide receiver, and they waited to the second round. They took this kid. What the hell can he do? I hate that for him, but that's going to be the narrative, right? So
yeah,
you have to throw that into
they're
it.
They're not going to get a Devontae Adams in his draft. I mean,
no, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. But when you sit there with the ammunition to move up, if you wanted to go get somebody, and you don't, and you just lost Devontae Adams. And Aaron Rodgers and Packer Nation are going to be like, really? We didn't move up. Maybe we got some good dudes in the first round. I'm not saying they won't get good dudes. But everybody's so hyper-focused on getting now without Devontae. Yeah. They was hyper-focused on getting somebody when they had Devontae. Now you don't have him.
That's
you
right.
Got Sammy freaking Watkins.
You got to place
and
that boy.
Randall Cobb's old ass. They sit there like,
you hate
what are we doing?
Another guy to watch is Christian Watson from North Dakota State. I got him going 33,
like
first pick of the second round.
I like him a lot.
So,
I do too.
You know, he's got good size, good
him
balance.
And George Pickens.
Yeah. So he could be another still. George Pickens is another one who's a tremendous athlete. He could be a guy that could, be a sleeper for you, too. Alec Pierce, wide receiver from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yep. Stand up.
The Packers got two first-round picks. They could try to move up and get one of these guys if they really like them. They could maybe move up and trade a second-round pick to go with it. I don't know if they want to give up, trade both of their first-round picks to move up. Or maybe you throw in a second-round and a later-round pick and you move up a little bit and get a guy you really want. So, we'll see what happens. The Green Bay philosophy has always been to stick to their board. Don't reach for a need, go
yep.
for value on the pick. That's always been their philosophy. And, for the most
yep.
part, it works. how many years in a row they've been the NFC Championship game? They haven't won a big prize over the last few years. They haven't won it since 2011,
yeah.
2012, I believe. But they're in the running practically every year, right? So for the most part, their philosophy works.
It's true. That's just the problem is that philosophy works. More pressure now with Aaron Rodgers being with the ex-Carolina. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Andre.
Right. No, I was just going to say no. I definitely want to talk about that. I do want to get to the Brooklyn Nets and the Celtics NBA stuff too. But I do want to ask you – I know. We're not going to, harp on you too much, JQ. But I do want to – I really just want to ask you a question too because, again, I'm talking about my PTSD, and I'm sorry to take it back to the Falcons, but do you really think Garrett Wilson is that dude, man? Do you think he's, because I think – what is he, 6'1"? Is he 6'2"? I don't know if he's, you said he's kind of smallish, right? So you think he's, a number one kind of receiver guy, if you would kind of do that? But tell me about that.
He's, 6'1", 180, 185. I'm not saying they should take Garrett Wilson. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Garrett Wilson, but Garrett Wilson also had Chris Olave so they were loaded, So
right.
I just wonder, if they find one of those guys that is their flavor, that say he's the best one, and we need that guy
right.
because this is what our receiver group looks like. It wasn't necessarily about Garrett Wilson. I like Garrett Wilson, but I'm biased, and I own that. But can you draft a slot receiver at 8?
No.
Because I think that's where he's going to shine the most, is being in the slot in the NFL. You can get away with that shit in college. But in the NFL, you need a bigger dude on the outside. I don't know. So I'm not saying that to say that Garrett Wilson should be the pick for Atlanta 8. I would get me an Atlanta Wilson jersey. I would. But maybe you like, the Trey Burks, or you like I've seen Drake London being mocked to Atlanta a lot at 8.
Yeah.
Bigger wide receiver to put on the outside to pair with a bigger cowboy.
I like Drake
so.
London a lot.
Yeah, everyone does, but we're still not sure about his sporting
he
time, right?
He doesn't have the speed that
right.
Garrett Wilson has, but as far as positioning and how he uses his body to get open, I think Drake London is going to be a heck of an NFL player. Mike Evans might be a little bit faster than Drake coming out of college. That's the, because Drake has top-end speed, probably doesn't. But, as far as, going up and leaping ability, catching the basketball, the way he positioned his body, he's got all those physical traits. He just doesn't have the top-end speed. Yeah.
Catching the football.
Yep.
But, see, again, that's what I'm saying.
You said catching the basketball.
He's a
coach.
It was funny. He's excited. But you see what I'm saying, JQ?
Well,
because
what I'm thinking about is the way he posts the fenders up, being basketball. So that's
I know. I'm just saying. Maybe why. Because I know you watched the basketball game. I was saying, you watched that game.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jerry. What did you say?
That was good stuff. No, all I was saying was, again, that's what I'm nervous about, because if it's such a deep draft, then, like I said, I'm a fan of a Christian Watson of George Pickens. I think they have, if George Pickens wasn't injured, I'm sure he'd be higher. And then again, you're looking at, Lord forbid, we take another Alabama wide receiver in Jameson Williams. That's kind of who I think is a potential number one guy, right? So even if the George Pickens, that's later, because it's such a deep draft, right? So we had almost 14 sacks left. That's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? That's just so sad.
We got
to address the edge somewhere, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
I know we're talking
about
it.
I agree with you, but my worry is, okay, so we're going to go down another path. Say you don't do it, right? But then everybody we talked about in that 11 to 28 range,
right,
goes wide receiver, and it hits. And then before you get to 8, does somebody move up in front of Atlanta to go get George Pickens? Or, oh, shit, these wide receivers are hitting. They hit hard. I need to go get my guy. And now you waited, and you've gotten a good pick at eight, right? But now at eight in the second round, you're sitting there like, damn, our secondary targets are now gone too. Then what for Atlanta? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's tough.
That's fair.
For them and where they are in the draft. I just worry that I feel like when the wide receiver run happens, it's going to go boom, 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 boom. You're going to get like four or five in like an eight big span. And if you're waiting for those dudes to fall to the beginning part of the second round, you're going to be like,
That's fair, too. That's fair.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
You know, this mock draft, I got called Charles Cross and Ike Iguano going 9 and 10. They may be hard to pass up if they're available for Atlanta, too. So, you know,
right.
You
that's
got two offensive linemen like that. If
if people get dumb and they leave the second and third record offensive tackle on the board at eight for Atlanta, that's something I'm just not game planning for. I had already ruled those dudes out. If those one of those dudes is there, Atlanta's got to make that move. I can't argue with that at all.
Yeah. That's like if Kayvon Thibodeau is there. Like, you're like, damn, I'm running the podium to get that. If he's there at eight, you know, like they keep talking about, he's dropping. That's insane, right? You didn't think you even had a shot at this dude, man, you know? You know, obviously, Kyle Hamilton, he was mocked this later. So you're still kind of sure. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I'm not taking Kyle Hamilton.
I mean, I mentioned it on the previous show.
I'm not either. I'm just saying. Go ahead,
I think
Rob.
Where Atlanta is in this draft, they will be smart to trade down, in my personal opinion. Unless there's somebody that just falls to them that you just didn't expect them to be there. Because they're kind of in a tweener spot. What I mean by that, there's a good chance the offensive linemen are going to be gone, and there's a good chance those three pass rushers are going to be gone, Thibodeau, Walker, Hutchinson. And so you might be in that spot where, you know, you might be more beneficial to trade down. You can get an extra pick or two. And still maybe get a wide receiver. I mean, I get the number one wide receiver, but still get a wide receiver or something along those nature. Wow. So they could be a prime candidate for a trade down, in my opinion. Carolina, another
Pittsburgh.
One. Carolina, I think, is considering trading down, too. They might still get a quarterback, whether it be Willis.
Malik Willis.
Carolina has they have one pick in the first round, and they don't pick again until the fourth round. So
I get you. But the problem is they get Matt Rule too much influence. Matt Rule knows he needs a quarterback, and he needs to have that quarterback come in and hit and show some promise. That dude is coaching for his job. So that trading back and all that good stuff sounds good in theory, but I feel like if they have a quarterback that they have in mind that they really love, and he's sitting there, when you have a dude that has not had a good couple of years, and he has a fall-off season, he's got still some level of job security. I think Matt Rule might be coaching for his job this year, and he knows he's got to hit on that quarterback. So if he's got a quarterback that he loves sitting there at six, right, I don't know if he takes that chance to move back. Because if it doesn't work out and he gets fired, and then he don't give a fuck what Carolina does after that, right? Because he ain't coaching there.
The only challenge is, you know, if they banking on Matt Rule to win this year, I don't care what quarterback they're taking. He ain't winning this year. It's going to be down the road. So if he goes all out for the quarterback, he's got to go to management and say, hey, you know, you're going to have to be patient with me because you got to develop this guy. You know, I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that's going to lead the team to the playoffs this year.
I agree.
That's not going to happen. Down the road, yes, but not this year in the rookie season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize our music at the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night for our friends on the East Coast. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And Chicago, eat this pizza, send us some. It's going to be 10 o'clock for you all in Chicago. Sorry to hear that y'all going to be going down tomorrow night. Zach LaVine is out on protocol, so Milwaukee about to end that series on tomorrow night. And JQ's favorite city, Albuquerque. It's going to be 9 o'clock for you all in Albuquerque. And, of course, Hollywood, Fresno, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for you all on the West Coast. Make sure you tune in again on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. You can click on the same link the rest of the week, and you'll get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't disagree with you. about Matt Rhule and winning it now. I'm saying he needs to get a dude that shows some promise where he can get another year. If he moves back and he doesn't get any of them, and then he ends still us with Sam Darnold and a good offensive tackle, but Sam Darnold still does Sam Darnold things, he's going to be like, come on, bro. You had a chance to go get this dude that showed promise in week 8 to 17, and you didn't pull the trigger on it. You gone. So it's interesting, but I agree with you. I think the draft may start with Atlanta, depending on how it slots in front of them, to where they can move back and still get that value. It's just, I agree with you. They're in a tough spot. They're either in a great spot or a tough spot, depending on what everybody else does in front of them. The best thing that could happen is for Trayvon Walker to go to Jacksonville at one, because that pushes people down that you wouldn't think would
be
there.
Trajectory. Yeah, because if you're, you know, if you're number two, if you look at the pick, you're like, oh man, you know, if Aiden Hutchinson's there, Kayvon Thibodeau's there, you have like an interesting pick, and you have some tackles, right? So now you can kind of see what happens from there too. So I agree with you. I mean, this is not that we know that was going to happen, because like this is the most interesting draft, exciting, because you know there's no clear, like you said, the number one pick. We're not sure. There's not a Joe Burrow in this draft, you know. So it's just you know, or Trevor Lawrence, because he already had him last year. But it is kind of curious to see what happens too. So if you're Detroit, you know, are you smoke screening? Are you, you know, you're trying to figure this out too, man. So you never know what's going to happen, man. So I'm looking forward.
That would
to
be wild,
if you will.
If you push those three offensive tackles down the line to starting them at maybe 3, 4, 5 or 4, 5, 6, that changes the whole trajectory of what happens. Especially if like Matt Rhule has to take a quarterback, then that's one more pick when another offensive tackle would still be available. That, like you talked about, you know. We thought offensive tackle was damn near a lock to go a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, to Jacksonville. Then it's just to Hutchinson. Yeah. So it's going to be wild. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
I think there's a very good chance that one of those offensive linemen is going to be available at 8 for Atlanta. And there's a lot of things that's happened. Trayvon Walker has climbed on the boards. Sauce Gardner has climbed on the boards. Derek Stingley is back in the conversation in the top 10.
Derek Stingley,
so
when you look
at those three guys and the possibility of Malik Willis going 6th for Carolina, it's probably going to move at minimum at least one of those offensive linemen. So I think the Falcons are going to come down to an offensive lineman or Garrett Wilson. If they stay at 8, it's going to come down to, hey, do we need to go and get a weapon? Cincinnati had a similar decision last year, right? Do we take an old lineman?
Yep.
Or do we go get Joe Burrow's weapon? And, you know, I mean, I know Joe Burrow took a lot of hits last year, but he got a heck of a weapon in Jamar Chase. So,
that was a unique scenario.
You know, their scouting department is just going to have a conviction on a player between Garrett Wilson and one of those offensive linemen. And I don't think the Falcons' offensive line is in bad shape as Cincinnati's was last year, but they still need help on offense.
Have you not seen the game?
I know it's not great. It's definitely not great.
It's probably on par.
I mean, it's you know, if you're hoping that, you know, obviously if Jalen Mayfield makes that, you know, move, you know, hey, that's one. But that dude got thrown to the fire, so he'll get better for it. Matt Hennessy, not impressed.
Falcons
center. I'm like, damn.
Nobody.
I hear you.
What's the dude named? Zacchaeus?
Amadeus Zacchaeus. We got Auden Tate from Cincinnati. We got Demaryius Byrd from Chicago. Again, nobody. And then we have
I'm glad you're doing it, JQ. But I will come across like a hater, you know, the Saints fan. So I'm glad JQ was doing it.
You got three number threes and Kyle Pitts. That's what you got.
And see,
you're being nice
by
calling
them
number
three. Yeah, we know this.
You
know this, bro.
They might be 4 or 5.
But see, that's the thing. But this is the thing, right? We've always been an that's why we have no idea what this regime's going to do. We've always been an offensive team, right? You know, technically, and we still haven't made it over the hump. So, again, you know that you want to run the ball to protect your quarterback. So it's like, all right, so do you strengthen, like, the offensive line, right? Right? I'm just talking. I know you're shaking your head, JQ, or do you say, you know what, F it, we're going to go all defense. You got to fucking figure out what you're going to do, man. You know, so something's got to be strong, man. So either I got to be strong on this end or strong. Either I'm going to run the ball or I'm going to, like, stop something. You know, you got to figure that shit out.
I would, I got you. We're going to go to the Nets in a second. But my only counter to that is, if I know you got three number threes in Kyle Pitts, I'm going to put everybody in the stands, everybody off the bench, in the box, and keep you from running the ball and say, you go ahead, Marcus, and throw the ball over my head because I don't believe that you can because I don't think you have a game record to beat us over the top. So that sounds fantastic. You can have a great offensive line. But if I put eight dudes in the box because I feel like I can play people coverage on your wide receivers, but I don't believe they can beat me on a consistent basis, then you still end up in the same trick bag. You have to have somebody outside of Kyle Pitts.
That's fair.
To give defensive coordinators something to think about.
I'm with you, and I'm not hating. I'm just, like I said, I'm just talking through this too. So I get you
100%
too.
So I'm just trying to bring you into. If I was playing y'all, if they didn't take a wide receiver somewhere in the first two rounds, or didn't get one to fall, that I had to worry about.
There's going to be somebody in there. I got you 100%.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend too much time talking, but I want to talk about some NBA too. I'm still thinking there's no way they're going to get two first rounders. By the way, 49ers for Deebo Samuel. That's insane. By the way, that's some bull crap. You know, but we're going
to
come back.
As much as I would love the Saints to get him, I wouldn't trade two first-rounders for him. I would trade a first and maybe another pick or two, but I wouldn't trade two first-rounders. As much as I would love the Saints to get him, I wouldn't trade two first-rounders.
Hey, that makes
you know what
it
is. You negotiate, you start here, and then you settle down somewhere in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, not two first-rounders, but at least one and some Packers to pick.
What about the
player?
Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Packers?
Yeah,
if the Saints gave up
a one first-round pick and another pick or two for Deebo, I wouldn't argue with that all day. I would take it. Because you might draft a Chris Olave.
There's no way. Even as great as two first-round picks sound, I just can't see two teams that have played each other the past 3 years in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
Since the last 3 years, San Francisco Green Bay has played in the playoffs. The last 3 years, I just can't see them, even for those two first-round picks, saying I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers Deebo Samuels after they've lost Devontae with that two-headed monster they got in the backfield and say, yeah, we're going to beat them again, and then Deebo will be so motivated to shit on us in the playoffs. I can't see that. Like, in terms of value, in terms of long-term value, It might be the best decision to make, but I don't know if Shanahan and John Lynch make that move to send him to Green Bay. They want to send him to the AFC.
Yeah, I'm
you're not wrong,
JQ. Yeah.
The other one you're talking about is Kansas City. If Kansas City is going to give Tyrese a decent deal, but Miami trumped it, they also have two first-round picks, and you say, well, you can have Tyrese, and I'll take Deebo to go with Pat Mahomes, and damn, you know. If I come out with a Deebo Samuels type talent in the first round for these two picks, if I'm Kansas City,
That's a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Win. All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Let's talk. I don't want to talk too much time because we only get time to chat so much. Just really quick on a side note, Rob, I'm kind of conflicted, but as much as I hate everything New Orleans, I do hope Jose Alvarado does well. So I'm just going to tell you that as far as the Georgia Tech side, so just. It is hard for me to admit that, but I do hope that he does play well. So
I don't hate the Hawks, man. That's cold.
Effing,
you're not even
did I say I hated the Pelicans? Did I say I hated the Pelicans? I did not say that. I said it's just hard for me right now.
New Orleans.
I said New Orleans. So I was getting ready to say I'm pulling for the Pelicans, and I'm from Georgia Tech, and I'm actually proud of what he's doing. So you have another person to be. I know everything in our life is we're competitors and everything, but this is the one time that I'm actually pulling for the Pelicans.
I just hate the Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Everything
right,
else?
We'll let you have that.
Yeah.
But
Falcons and Georgia Bulldogs. I can root for Georgia Tech occasionally.
nothing else to root for that. I just want to tell you, I'm really proud of Alvarado, and he's really, he's got heart, man. The New York, I just want to tell you that too. So I'm pulling for the Pelicans to do some things, too. This juncture. Let's talk about the.
He brings a lot of energy
Nets
to the team. I mean, the other night he brought a lot of energy to help them win in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we're down by 11 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's playing well, so hopefully you'll rebuild on that. I want to talk really quick. We're not going to pile on JQ, but let's talk about the Nets and the Celtics because this was a very interesting series, right? And again, I didn't think it was going to get swept, man. I didn't think this was going to happen at all, right? So
I didn't either. I thought it was
going to
be a good series.
this was probably the most anticipated, you know, series. We thought it was going to go, like, you know, the full tilt. And you know, we talk about what's happening with the team. You know, maybe there's some chemistry issues that we didn't know about. Or are the Celtics that great? Because, again, if you look at the Celtics, I know we talked about it. We knew how great Tatum was. We knew how great, you know, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart came up. And you had a lot of good, you know, Robert Williams, all these great players that you're like, it's the sum of the parts that, you know, actually took out, you know, the Nets. And if you look at what's happening with Nets, like if you're like KD and Kyrie, you're like, damn, if I got those two guys, I'm sure, you know, they're going to, like, perform. And just kind of interesting what happened. And you've already heard Kyrie. He said he's going to come back to the Nets. We don't know what the hell is going to happen to Robert's favorite player, Ben Simmons. We don't know what the hell is happening with that. But let's talk about what's happening.
I agree with Kendrick Perkins.
To this series. I was setting you up for that, man.
That was hilarious.
Go ahead, man.
Newport, that's terrible.
That was because we've all thought about that person, too. I bet she's hot. Damn, she's from the Newport. Yeah, there's been some girls that you know are top, and they're just like, something like they smoking like, yeah, that just knocks them down a peg. I want no part of that. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts on
but
that?
But, yeah,
man?
I mean, I think it's a combination of both. And I don't know if it was last week's show or the week before that. We talked about the Phoenix-Lakers series in the playoffs last year, how everybody kept giving the Lakers a chance to win just because they had LeBron and they had AD. But they had some injury issues, right? And they just weren't able to develop that chemistry. And the same thing that happened this year in this playoff season. As talented as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is, Kyrie Irving missed more than half the season. James Harden missed time. They trade for Ben Simmons. He doesn't come and play. So wasn't able to develop that kind of chemistry. And they ran into a team who was probably the hottest team going into the playoffs. And keep in mind, all four, even though the Nets got swept, those games were close. Down the stretch, a lot of them were. But the difference is the Celtics had the chemistry. And I never seen Kevin Durant's shot get blocked so many times in the series. I mean, most of his career, he's been able to shoot over everybody. And, man, you saw, you know, not so much in game four, but games one through two and three. I mean, they were all over him, just harassing, blocking the shots. You got to give the Celtics a lot of credit for what they were able to do in the defensive end. And efficiency-wise, going into the playoffs, the Celtics were the best offensive efficiency team and defensive team going into the playoffs. That's staggering. I will say this. I'm not a Celtics fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So I didn't mind him beating them. But it's going to be hard for me to root for the Celtics to get anybody else. But they are going to be a dangerous team, and they are a serious contender. And Milwaukee, I think they'll finish off the Bulls tomorrow night, and they will see the Bucks and the Celtics, which could be a great series. But the Bucks are going to need Chris Middleton to win that series. They're not going to be able to get by like they did against the Bulls without Chris Middleton.
Damn.
They're going to need Middleton. Yeah. I don't know if Middleton is going to be back or not, but the way – the Celtics are playing defense right now. Marcus Smart.
They just dismantled them.
Grant Williams. Tatum and Brown, the way they're playing on the defensive end. Robert Williams. Daniel Theis. They're bringing some length on the floor, too. They're going to be tough out. I mean, they're going to be tough out. Obviously, just from the looks of it, it looks like Milwaukee, Boston, and Miami are all bringing in our defensive end right now. They look like, you know, and if you're the Sixers, you got to be worried. And looked at that game. That Toronto could possibly come back and win four straight on these boys. You know,
we know who Doc Rivers is. You know who Doc Rivers is. Doc Rivers is known to blow a big lead in the series as a coach.
Yeah. You got Embiid with a thumb, but when you look at that Toronto team, man, everybody on that team is 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", and they got like 7'5" wingspan.
They be dragging
Precious
are true.
That dude ain't so precious. That dude is nasty.
His name is
he
not
plays
a
with a nasty
moniker.
Team in him. And you got Pascal Siakam, man, his knuckles are dragging the floor when he's running the court, man. That dude on so long. I mean,
They did that without Van Vliet.
OJ, I know. Huh?
They did that without Van Vliet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you look at the Sixers team, they don't have a lot of length. And you're starting to, you know, you look at as good as Maxey has been, you know, he's only about 6'2", 6'3". He's not putting a lot. You put Danny Green out there. You put Tobias Harris and James Harden. Other than Embiid, you don't got a lot of length on the court. You got to be real. This Toronto's definitely going to win game six. I'm calling it on the show.
Ooh,
they're going to win game six.
Wow.
And we're going to have a game
seven.
I'm
making notes about this.
In Philadelphia. And anything's on the table. And I think if you feel it, you got to be worried. Yeah. I'm a Sixers fan, and I'm saying that. I want the Sixers to win. But I think they're going to lose game six, and we're going to have a game seven in that series.
Yeah, and I touched upon it. I mean, I like Doc Rivers as a dude. He seems pretty cool. But, man, that dude is – if this happens again, he might be done, Dan. Like, how do you hire Doc Rivers after – if you really look at the totality, let that Boston shit go from, you know, 10 years ago. Look at the totality of what he's doing as a head coach and losing these big series after being up. That's tough, and you can't tell me that's not on his mind. He'll tell you that it's not. But your ego and your pride as a, you know, as a head coach in this league that's been deemed one of the great, as a championship winning head coach, you still feel that like, man, I can't let this happen again for my legacy. So I agree with you. And then Philadelphia with that injury to Embiid. And again, we talked about it last week. Maxey's still young and he can keep it going. And it's like, James Harden, where art thou? This is why we traded for you. This is why you asked for this big contract. Sir,
terrible.
This is about you. But to go back to Boston and Brooklyn, it was almost like a perfect storm. Like, the length and the way that we know Boston is playing good defense. But the lock of Kevin Durant down the way that they did, like, Kyrie exploded for, you know, that first game in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't pull it through. And you're right, there were a lot of close games. But to see Kevin Durant just get beat up and locked down, you're just not used to that. They played – not only did they play phenomenal defense in that series, every time that Brooklyn made a run, especially like in this last game, dang, Grant Williams, that corner three, he was just bang. And every time the crowd got into it, he shut him up and shut him up again.
Yep.
And Robert Williams come back, oh, yeah, I'm good playing defense. Marcus Smart just all up in him. It was, you know, I hate Boston. I hate everything about the city of Boston, the colors. I hate Logan Airport. I hate all that shit. And everything about Boston. Okay? I hate all of it. But you have to give them a ton of credit. What they did to Brooklyn in that four-game series in that sweep was it was something to behold. And I think beyond that, it might give teams pause for these super team notions, right? Because you see Boston with that, they drafted most of those dudes on there. You might – so playing a dude here and there to, you know, backfill the 7th, 8th, 9th spot. The dudes we rolling with, we drafted and kept, right? And it's got to be something to be said for being smart while you're drafting and resigning the right dudes that you drafted as opposed to splurging on two or three guys and then trying to backfill the roster where people are trying to chase a ring. So they might be starting to usher out that whole super team notion because it's like if you build right, you can be the super team. Not only can you be the super team, you can kick their ass. And they really did.
Right.
And it was like, wow, what they did to Brooklyn. That was, again, when you get two stars like that, I guess being older, I'm a product of seeing that, right, that you get you two stars or three stars, and you just ask everybody else to fill in around the edges because those two or three stars, you know, carry you home every night. But when you can get a team to play the level of defense they played against, you know, Kevin Durant, I mean, and really after that first game, Kyrie as well, and just shut them down. Nobody else can get their own shot. Nobody else can get open without those two dudes facilitating them. Boston's scary. And you talked about it. Well, Milwaukee, they can't beat Boston without a healthy Chris Middleton. And the sprained MCL, 2 weeks it just means in 2 weeks I'll see you again on the training table and see where you are. Even if they try to roll his crippled ass out there, he's only going to be about 65-70%. He ain't going to be 100% Chris Middleton. And if he ain't 100% Chris Middleton, I just don't see them beating Boston. So you got Boston, and I feel like, just depends. I feel like really Miami looks at Atlanta and says, you know what, we can beat these dudes without these two dudes, without Kyle Lowry and without Butler. These two dudes have quit. We can beat them without them, and we're just going to give them some extra rest. And that's sad. for Atlanta, and I really want to see what Atlanta does in this offseason, because at some point you have to look around and say, we're good enough not to get a really high pick to get a transcendent star, but we're not good enough to win the whole thing. And being stuck in purgatory as a 9-8-7 seed, you know, they had a good run last year, I give them that. But you get the way you see the Eastern Conference is going, who do you pick for Atlanta to beat in back-to-back series to make it to another Eastern Conference Finals, you know what I'm saying, as currently constructed? They've got to get a secondary start. So I just don't know what they're going to do roster-wise for Atlanta. But that was disappointing, you know, to see them go out like that against a team that's beat up and they just rest the stars. They felt like they could beat them. And then they did it. So if you're Trae Young and you want to keep him in Atlanta, you got to show him something or he's gone.
Yeah, I think I'll let Rob talk about that too, because it's messed up, because even from last year, you know, they thought that they pretty much essentially brought back the same roster. They're hoping that they were healthy with the healthy DeAndre Hunter. You lost Cam Reddish. I think, you know, you need that defense. You need another defense. Like, they don't have anybody that's like, let's be a dog defensively. They are number, you know, we were a top three offensive team. The defense was never that great. And that's a huge problem. You know, we know Trae's not the best defensive player. You got to have somebody that's be able to cover for his deficiencies with that. You know, Clint Capella can only do so much. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of John Collins, even though we signed him. But they're thinking, hey, we essentially have the same team. We should go a little, you know, we're a lot better. It's better. We lost Bogdan this year. Bogdan was the only person. And I'm looking at this team like, what the hell? Are we really that bad? And you don't have that veteran, like, grizzled guy, like, yo, we need to get up in their ass. We didn't have that. Like we talked about, you know, Donovan Mitchell. You know, I hate having a small backcourt. There's a Bradley Beal out there. You know, I'm like, damn, is that even an option? The only thing that you hear is the possibility of, like, Andrew Wiggins is not going to get re-signed because of what's happening with Jordan Poole. Is that an answer? I don't know, but you need somebody else that can take some pressure off of Trae, that can ball handle, that can create his own shot, and you also need a defensive, like, just somebody that, yo, I'm going to lock down this person, you know, and just have that grit. That's what, like a veteran, like, yo, we ain't going out like this. And I don't think we have that, you know, because we can't just be going – that was a disgrace, like you said. I mean, you know, Trae can only do so much by himself, you know. And you know, Kevin Herter's not hitting, you know, it was bad. Gallinari wasn't hitting, you know. John Collins was injured, you know. Then it's just like the perfect storm, like you said. I'm like, what the hell? You know, so it was just very disappointing, 100%.
Yeah, and then you ran into one of the best defensive teams in the league, too. So it's
and
a combination of both.
You got to give them credit.
And I mean, they're one of the more well coached teams, the best coached teams in the league too. So I mean, Miami's in this thing too. When you look at Miami, like we said, Milwaukee's going to come down. If they got to help the Chris Middleton, I wouldn't count them out just yet. It's just going to come down to how healthy Chris Middleton. If he's not available, then yeah, it's Miami and Boston. I do think Miami's going to beat whoever wins the Sixers and Toronto series. So I think Miami would definitely be in the finals. If you had to go right now, you got to say Miami and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they were the 1-2 seed. You got to look at them, and that could be a dogfight.
Brooklyn
that
was
could be
seven.
A nasty
Brooklyn
playoff
was
series.
Seven.
Yeah. They might be the old.
It might be hard to watch. It might be like the
yeah,
old,
I say,
like
1985.
Knicks.
I might be
Knicks
in the 90s, man, with the game finished 77-74.
Charles Oakley.
I agree with you. It's wild. I think we all look for. It's like I'll leave it with this, that we almost want it to be like the NCAA tournament, where you like wild stuff happen, where a 7-2 or a 6-3, and then it shakes up a little bit for the psychology, right? And it's not a one and done. And it's like more often than not, the team that doesn't have the injuries and the team that's better coached and has, like you said, you have to have two, sometimes three dudes that can go get their own shot, handle the ball, and play defense will prosper. So I think that's just what's playing out. And that's why I just worry about what the Hawks would do. I don't know who's out there on the market. There are things that we don't know that people, you know, that are in the know about dudes that wanted to get moved. But they have to find a secondary star. And I've been telling you that for years.
Yep.
They got to find
– we know.
I say the same thing about Dallas. They have to find a secondary star to when the pressure goes up. Not necessarily the pressure, but somebody else can get the only shot when I can't game plan just to throw eight guys at Trae Young, knowing these other dudes can't beat, right? folks that know that when they play Atlanta, for the most part, know that they do that, and the Miami dudes that play good defense, like, they have nothing coming with us. And whatever round we meet them in, because they don't have that other guy. Trey's fantastic. They don't have that other guy. John Collins is a third star. They don't have a second star. So I don't know what they do to go get that guy. I think he'd be a good third star. You know, he could be a Kevin Love or a Chris Bosh. I think he could be that guy in that role, but he has to have a first and a second dude next to him to alleviate that pressure. So living here in Atlanta, like, I don't dislike the Hawks. I just don't think they can go anywhere. I think they're stuck in purgatory. They either have to make a bold move to go get somebody, or they have to blow it up and start over.
And that's – we done it with – back with the Mookie Blaylock, and Steve, we've done the same thing. Same thing before, whenever we had freaking Jeff Teague. It seems like it's like happening all over again, and you have a bona fide star. We're right back to where we started again. It's like, damn, can't we just get, like, a break or something like that? You're not going to strike gold in draft. It's just hard to find that person. You know, you're not going to get a young guy, you know, because it's going to take that young guy time to kind of get to know the league. So it's just – I agree with you, Jake. You're like, man, who's out there? You want John Collins? You want you know, you want Gallinari? Here's an expiring contract. Who are you going to get? OKC? Who are you going to get? Tyler Hero?
They should have been bold. When everybody was talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum wasn't working, Jaylen Brown's from Atlanta, I believe, isn't he? Jaylen Brown from Atlanta? When they were struggling, I would have tried to put a package together and be like, you know what? If you don't want to be in Boston, come back home, play boy, we got you. You and Trey are going to be the shit. Like, but now they've let them jail, and now you can't break that up if you're Boston. You're not going to break that up. So they got to be aggressive to pounce on other people's misfortunes to go find that secondary star and be willing to package some stuff to go get them.
It's going to happen.
He's perfect for Trey Young.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. It's going to be another star or three in the league that's going to be disgruntled about where they are. And you got to make that deal. You got to trade two or three of your solid players along with a first-round pick or two and go and get them. And, you know,
are you going to go down? Are you going to go down if you make that move, though, Rob? If you make that trade, now you're going to possibly, you know, you may go down a little bit to go back up, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you hopefully, you know, because you're going to take some depth, if you will, right? Because if I'm giving some pieces, then it's got to be enough.
But y'all got all the depth. Y'all depth is great.
Yeah. In most cases,
I'm with you.
Most teams, you know, you look at, I mean, the Lakers have struggled last year and this year, but they did get one good year out of Anthony Davis, and they won a championship, right? I mean, they had to give up a lot to the Pels to give them. They gave up with Brandon Ingram, a bunch of players, and Brandon Ingram is coming into his own now. But they did that. They got them one championship, and, you know, in most cases, the GM, you get one championship out of deal, you live with that, right?
True.
I mean, you know, I mean, even on a smaller scale, look at what the Pelicans did this year. They traded some role players to Portland. Got C.J. McCollum and Larry Nance. Got them in the playoffs.
That's a great move.
They wasn't going to make the playoffs with those guys. So even on a smaller scale, you give up a first-round pick and some three or four role players, and you get C.J. McCollum and Larry Nance in return. So, you get better. In most cases, you get better even by giving up more players.
I'm with you. Like I said, it's just there's we talked about it. JQ texted about it. You know, Donovan Mitchell. We know that that's kind of like whatever. That'd be a good move. But like I said, again, he's 6'3". Now you got a 6'3", 6'3", you know, 6'1" shooting guard. So, you know, you better have a strong defense behind me. Same thing with Bradley Beal. I like it, but, you know, same thing, you know. Wiggins, you know, I don't know. He's all right, you know, he's the right size, but, you know, I don't know. So it's like, what the hell? Damned if you do. Damned if you're like, who's out there? You know what I'm saying? I like DeMar DeRozan, actually. You know, he played phenomenal with, you know, not this series, but throughout the year. You know, but, you know, he's a good, you know, mid-range type of guy, you know what I'm saying? But then, like you said, is that enough? So, I like Tyler Hero. Can we pry him away? I don't know. That dude seems like he can, you know, be the guy because, you know, what's happening with Duncan Robinson and they got Schroots in there now. But, you know, we just don't know what's happening. But I'm hoping that I can attract somebody to come play with me. But, yo, I just need a secondary person, handle the ball, you know, take some pressure off of me, be a secondary, create your own shot. A threat, if you will. Let's be dominant, if you will. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what you're hoping for.
from that perspective for sure, man. So, but I don't want to take all your time, man, because we'll be talking ahead. And then, damn, Anthony Edwards, damn, that dude right there is just lighting up.
Minnesota,
you talk about
blows
a great
the Minnesota was winning the
just
game most of the whole game tonight. They blew another game.
Unbelievable. I'm going to say this, too, and kind of to go back to, that's why, you know, we talk about, I say during the draft, and I know this is just Andre talking because, you know, Ja Morant, you know, everyone's like, well, Ja can't exist with the Trey. I don't care. You got to get the best player, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that, too. And that's just me. You know, I know, like, we talk about who's going to take what, but you just got to get players. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, oh, they can't coexist. You get talent, bro. Doesn't matter. Am I wrong or what?
Nope. Get your talent figured out later.
Yeah.
So, that's my two cents.
Basketball is one of those sports you definitely don't draft for need. You go for the best player available on the board. I mean, the game has really become positionless in a lot of ways. So you uh-huh. definitely draft the best player available. And in most cases, you should be doing that in football, too. And, you know,
right.
you get the value or, you know, if you got too many, if the best value is on the board and it's not a position of need, then you trade down, right? You know, try to get some additional picks. So most cases, but definitely in basketball, you see what Golden State's doing. They're going out there with three guards, Wiggins and Draymond Green, and teams and giving teams six. Now, I think the right team could take advantage of that with Golden State.
First.
You know, but we'll see that whenever they face that team. If there's an athletic team with good size and length, I think they could take advantage of that with Golden State. But, you know, for the time being, I mean, Denver couldn't do nothing about it for sure. You know.
We got the wrong person drafting mm-hmm. because we thought Travis Flank was making the draft picks, but I don't know if that's the dude. Because you getting Jordan Poole, what the hell? That dude, it's like the Spurs. They know who to pick. You picked even Alex Burks, you know, he's doing some stuff, man, even though he plays for the Knicks. But those guys know how to pick guys in the second half of the round because you're hitting all those. Like, who thought Jordan Poole? I know, Jake, you don't keep hearing about that. But, damn, you know, he's in an extension this year and winning again.
I'm
going
to have to call. I want to talk about Jordan Poole. Sorry. I want to talk about that.
Hunter Dickinson decided to return to Michigan.
Well, appreciate y'all, man. So I know we kind of went a little longer. I wanted to talk about, you know, even Joel Embiid taking a shot at Harden. I was like, what the fuck?
He's right.
He's definitely right. His coach needs to get on him. he's right.
That's not like your thing.
He's out there. He's out there with an issue with his thumb, and he's still leading the team to scoring. I mean, come on. You know, you got to come out and pick up some of that slack. Yeah, yeah.
James is never that dude.
You look at that Sixers team, James Harden is not the same player. He's just not. He's lost a step of seven, and he doesn't look like he's in the best of shape.
First seven.
And, he really has. He's not getting any elevation on the three-point shot. And, he doesn't look like the same player. And, you know, Is the James Harden old over with already? You know, maybe we'll wait until next season to see if that's truly the case before we write him off totally. But he just doesn't look like the same player at all. And so
I agree.
You, as of right now, you maybe, you know, if Ben Simmons can ever get his head right, you know, they may still turn out to be the winner of that trade because James Harden. Yeah, Ben Simmons is still young and still pretty athletic, right? But James Harden may be toward the end of his career. And
you still got Ben Simmons for 3 years at someone at a decent rate. They're going to have to pay James Harden a stupid contract to look like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it's headed.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah.
If you feel it, you don't sign him into that deal. I'm sorry. I mean,
I hear you saying that, but you know how Daryl Morey feels about it, and you gave up all those assets. How do you do this and then just walk away?
Hey, two wrongs don't make a right. Hey, you got to live
you
with
right
the bad
away.
Reason.
That was a song by the Commodores.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Have it queued up ready for me next time, Dre. It's the DJ.
I am going to bed on that note. Wow, that's a compliment.
Gentlemen, we'll catch you guys next week. Looking forward to draft talk. Let's keep it up. Let's keep the text going. Guys, have a great day, man. I'm excited about what's going to happen in 2 days. So we'll see what's going to happen, gentlemen. So all good. Get some rest. We'll talk to you later, man. That Mountain Dew's kicking in now, so I got to apologize, man.
Yeah,
I'm so, you know, so. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Why would you start drinking Mountain Dew at 12:30, you crazy bastard?
I did it at 11. I did it at 11, bro. Come on, man. I'm crazy. That's right. I ain't got to get up. So I'm good.
All right, y'all.
Y'all don't talk shit about me no more, damn it. All right, talk soon. I'm out.
Oh,
talk
boy.
Soon.
Later, later, fellas.
Be good, Rob. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks, fella.
Yep, peace.